Well, hey, that's what's going to be happening today. Really excited you're here this morning. There's going to be a rising as we kind of put a stake in the ground on this journey. And really excited you're here. If we haven't had a chance to meet, my name's Kurt. And for the last 5 weeks, we have been in this obsession journey. And we've been trying to discover what is the thing that God has hardwired me for? What is it, the obsession that God created me for? And we've even been changing our posture on obsession. So many times we think obsession is negative, which it very much can be. But we've been saying God hardwired us for something for us to go all in on. And so many of us began to discover what that is. Many of us began to get clarity on that. For some of us, I've talked to some of you, and you've been concluding that God is your obsession. You want God to be more and more of the obsession that you're running after in life. And so today, we're going to all have the chance to step into something bigger. It's going to be awesome. And many of us today are going to have a chance to come forward and receive a prayer of blessing, a blessing, and just kind of anoint you as you go and step into or continue doing the thing God's hardwired you for. For others of us, baptism may be in your future. We'll talk a little bit about that. That's going to be next weekend. It's going to be an awesome, awesome weekend. For many of us, and we've never done this before, we've got kind of a new initiative. For those who say, hey, I want to make my obsession furthering the kingdom. And one of the ways we do that is through a local small C church like Crosspoint. Maybe you are a partner around here and you know what that means, that you're giving with your time and your treasure to further the kingdom of God. Maybe today you say, I want to be considered a partner. Maybe you wonder what the difference is on your card when it says regular attender or partner. We're going to define that today. And you can step in, you can get a team jersey today. And you can say, hey, I'm going to make that one of my obsessions. And so all of this is moving the movement of God forward in the world, the kingdom of God forward in the world, and it's going to be incredible. So now if you're new here today, let me just say, some of this you might be like, oh my word, what did I step into here today? Don't get freaked out. You're going to have a chance to see kind of what this place is made of today. And my hope, my prayer is that you might connect with God today in some unique way. And so super excited to be here and that you're here today. Let me pray for us before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for today. We're thankful that we can be in this dark room on a beautiful Sunday morning. And it's just good to be here. And God, you're a God who calls us into things that are not normal. You call us to go in a different direction than where most people in our world are going. And yet, you are a God who isn't tied to monotony. You're not tied to the mundane. You give us opportunities that stretch us, that grow us, that spiritually grow us. And we just pray that that would happen today and that more and more of your spirit would be working in and through our lives. And so I just pray that everything that happens in here today, everything that we experience would bring you honor and be towards your purposes. And we pray these things according to you, Jesus, your character. Amen. Well, 25 years ago, I ran my first of 13 mini marathons, and in high school, I was an athlete. You know, I got in my adult years, I was kind of a casual athlete, but I tell you what, 13.1 miles was 250% more miles than I'd ever run in my life in one setting. So it kind of freaked me out when Julie and I signed up for this to say, okay, we're going to submit ourselves to trying to complete a half marathon, and it was bigger than me. It scared me a bit. There was a bit of fear and trembling inside of me. Oh my gosh, how am I going to do 13.1 miles? Because my fear, you know what my biggest fear was? My biggest fear was that I was going to get picked up during that race by the sweeper bus. You know what the sweeper bus is? Sweeper bus is otherwise known as the loser bus. That's why, at least in my mind. Now, if you've been picked up by the sweeper bus, I'm not saying you're a loser, just so you know, all right? But for me, it's the bus that comes behind the race, and if you're not hitting the minimum mile at each segment, they tap you on the shoulder and they say, sir, you're just not cutting it. You need to get on the bus. We're not going to let you run anymore. And so I had this fear that I was going to be picked up by that bus. So, you know, we were training and training and training. I mean, I began to eat differently. I began to sleep more. I began to do certain things to protect my body so it could recuperate between runs. Because this thing was bigger than I was able to do by just going out and doing direct effort and accomplishing it. And so there were certain things I had to build into my life. There were certain things I had to set myself up for, certain things I had to set myself apart for. I had to, and I want to give this word that we're going to talk more and more about today, I had to consecrate myself. I had to consecrate myself in order to accomplish something that was bigger than me. This weekend, we're going to be putting a stake in the ground on this obsession journey. We're going to be consecrating ourselves today. And to consecrate in the spiritual realm, that's a big word. Some of you may have a little baggage of that word from your former church days. But to consecrate simply means that something is set aside for the purposes of God. That's what consecrate means. That we're going to set ourselves aside and we're saying, okay, I'm no longer just going to have the run of the road. I'm going to set myself aside. I'm no longer going to go the way most people are going, but I'm going to go a different different direction for a unique purpose, and I'm going to set myself aside. Now, one of the Old Testament stories that probably many of us are familiar with comes out of the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Joshua and Deuteronomy. We see God through this one individual bringing the nation of Israel up and out of slavery, out of Egypt. And there's a guy by the name of Charlton Heston that does this, otherwise known as Moses. You might... That never gets old to me, by the way, and it probably does to you, but whether you think of Moses or Charlton Heston, he leads the nation of Israel out of slavery, out of bondage, to a place called the Promised Land. And this is a place that God had promised the nation of Israel out of this season where they were in bondage to the nation of Israel. And in this journey that they go on, that Moses leads them on, is a journey that only would take a month or so to actually make distance-wise, but it took them 40 years plus to do this journey because it wasn't about just crossing the territory. God was reforming their hearts and developing a trust relationship between the Israelites and himself in the midst of this journey. And so Moses, he gets them right up to the edge of the Promised Land, and they have to go through this kind of boundary area known as the Jordan River, which was the crossover that allowed them to go into the Promised Land. And Moses dies right there. He dies right before he leads them across to this place they've been going toward. And so Moses' successor, Joshua, he actually rallies all the troops, and here's what he says to them. He says, consecrate yourselves. First thing he says. Now, before I read the rest of it, I want to pause for a moment right here. Here's the thing, we're all consecrated to something. Right? We're all consecrated to something. So whatever we're obsessed with, that's what we're consecrated to. You know, whatever you know you're obsessed with, that's what you've set yourself apart to. Now, you may not have intentionally said, oh, I'm consecrating myself to this, but whatever your obsession runs after, you have set yourself apart for that thing. So what we've been discovering is some of us, we're consecrated to body beautiful. Right? We're always worried about how we look and what we're wearing and, oh my word, did you see her? And did I look better than him? And we're constantly comparing and because we're all about body beautiful. Or maybe for you, it's having the latest and greatest of whatever. And so you set yourself apart, your finances apart, your life apart for whatever the next thing is. Or maybe it's a 32-inch waist. You're just like, not moving on. You put that belt on, you're like, I'm not doing it. Not you're all hanging over and stuff, but it's like I'm not going one belt loop further. And so you consecrated yourself. You set yourself apart to a 32-inch waist. And so we can be consecrated to anything. All right, whatever you're obsessed with, you set yourself apart toward that thing. That becomes your primary obsession. And God invites us. He says, I want you to intentionally choose to consecrate yourself to my plan and my purposes. I want you to intentionally set yourself aside to this, meaning you're going to probably go to a different beat of a drum. You're going to operate on a different plane. You're going to travel in a different lane, all right? You're going to probably, you know, be running a little bit different than the rest of our culture when you consecrate yourself. Joshua says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourselves. Now, some of us, you're like, oh, I don't see many wonders in my life. How's come, you know, you, Kurt, talk about having God show up in unique ways, and other people talk about that, but I haven't. Well, maybe it's because you haven't consecrated yourself. Maybe it's because your life just looks pretty normal like everybody else's, and you've not set yourself up where you actually are depending on God to work and come through in certain situations. So I think today, God calls us to the same thing. He calls his people. He says, I want you to consecrate yourself. I want you to set yourself aside. I want you to get comfortable being different. I want you to get comfortable, you know, traveling in a different lane. Later on this morning, you're going to have a chance to walk out of your row and respond to some things. You're going to have to decide, am I going to get up and move, or am I going to stay in the lane I'm always in? Am I going to consecrate myself? Because when we begin to get obsessed with God, with the things God's heart beats after, and we become obsessed with furthering the kingdom and his movement of his kingdom in the world, you consecrate yourself. And as Joshua says, get ready. You're going to see some wonders among you. Don't be surprised if you see God at work in your midst. Now, there's a number of moments where we can consecrate ourselves. Maybe we've had some of these. Very powerful moments where you go, oh, yeah, that moment right there. I mean, that was it. I remember that moment. I felt like I set myself aside for God or his purposes. You know, maybe it was a baptism moment. We're going to be doing that next weekend. Maybe you're here and you're like, I'm feeling led to make baptism my next step in my faith journey. I've never taken the step of water baptism. That's a consecration moment. All right, where you say, Jesus, I'm with you and you're with me. You've already decided that in your heart, but baptism is just a public expression of that. And you can make the decision. In fact, you can mark that on your card this morning. You can come to the info meeting after service today if you want to find out more. And this is more than like your parents deciding that when you were an infant. You're like, well, my parents had me sprinkled or baptized as a child. That is cool. It's a totally healthy thing. That's kind of the equivalent of our baby child dedications. But see, we believe believer baptism is where you as a believer in Jesus say, out of my faith, out of what I chose, I'm going to follow Jesus' very first commandment that he gives me after I receive his grace. Jesus says, believe and be baptized. So the very first thing he asked me to do, I'm actually going to be obedient to that and make a public declaration that I'm with God and he's with me. And for those of you that have done that, you know that that's a moment. That's a consecrated moment right there. It was for me. I was 14 years old when I was baptized, and I'll never forget it. I mean, that was a moment where it was a watershed moment, no pun intended, though maybe a little. You know, it was a moment where things were different from that point forward, right? Where I put a stake in the ground, and I remember it. I still remember it to this day. Next weekend, we're going to do something a bit different with baptisms. We've never done this before, but if you plan to get baptized, or if you have a student or a child that wants to get baptized, we're going to ask for you to invite the person who's been most significant in your journey to join you in the pool of baptism, all right? And one of us is going to be in there as well, but we want you to bring them with you. So if you're a child or a student, you know, bring a parent with you. If they've kind of been key in you in shaping your faith, or if somebody invited you to Cross Point and you've been in their small group and they've been mentoring you, or they've been the one that's answered questions as you've kind of progressed in your faith, or the person who invited you for the first time, they just cared enough to invite you. Invite them. Now, you don't have to have somebody, but we want them to be a part of that experience with you because they're a part of your story. And so it's going to be an awesome, awesome weekend. It's a set apart, consecrate myself moment. For others of us, maybe it was when you knelt down and you prayed, you know, to receive Jesus for the very first time, you know, to receive his grace and to give your life to him. All right, maybe it happened in this room, maybe it happened at, you know, a women's event or fight club or, you know, man camp or at a CSM event or a student, you know, convention or something. I mean, it could be happening any number of moments, but you're like, that was that moment where I said, Jesus, I'm going to set myself apart. I want to begin to follow you. For me, one of those moments for me came when I was in college. I was a junior in college. It happened one night late as I was in my college apartment. I was wrestling through this calling that God had put on my life. He wanted me to go into ministry, and I was just struggling with making that my calling. There's a lot of things I wanted to do. And so I started bartering with God. As I was exploring this call to ministry, I went from, okay, God, I'll take a ministry class, but I'm not committing to declare a major, to now I had to declare a major. And so I said, but I'll do that, but I'm not going to really become a real pastor, to, you know, eventually, you know, I became a pastor, but I'm not going to be doing like what I do today. And you can see how far that got me. Bartering with God is not a good idea. All right. And so nonetheless, Psalm 37 became really, really powerful for me in that moment. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him, who obsesses over him, who has an obsession with him. He makes his steps firm. I remember just reading through that passage that evening and saying, okay, God, you make my steps firm. Because I've got two options here. I feel like you're calling me into full-time ministry, and yet, if I really want to be effective, why would I go work in a church with a bunch of already convinced people? I want to be out in the workplace, in the business world, someplace like that. And yet, I'd had enough experience with God at that point in my life and I had made enough of these decisions where I said, well, God, here's what I know you want and here's what I want. I'm going to try my way first. That eventually I'd go on my way, and I was kind of like the Israelites. I went on this long journey only to end up back where I started, and then it'd be like, oh gosh, here I am back here. I guess, God, I ought to try your way next, because that's probably the way I ought to go and should have gone in the first place. So I just remember staring at this decision saying, do I want to kind of try my way for a while, or do I just want to relent or submit and say, Jesus, I'm just going to go your way. And so in that moment, I just said, okay, Jesus, I'm willing to go all in on this thing. And that's where this next part of this verse kind of took meaning for me. Though he may stumble, I'm like, all right, God, are you sure you're ready for some stumbling? Because there's going to be a lot of stumbling if I follow you on this call. Because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, Jesus, but I've got a lot of outages in my life. and I'm an introvert, and I'm shy, and I don't like to talk in front of people. So I want to make sure I know you created me, and you're in the most being, and you knit me together. I just want to make sure you know who you're calling into this thing right here. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him. Who upholds him? The Lord upholds him with his hand. And here I am today, almost 25 years later, and I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed that I do what I do. And every time I walk up on this platform, I'm humbled because I just remember thinking, oh, God, you could actually use me. You could actually speak to people through me. It's because I consecrated myself. And so today, we're going to have a chance to consecrate ourselves. And there's a couple ways we're going to do this. And later on in our service, you're going to have the chance to come forward as you've been getting clear on what that thing is God created for you to obsess over, that thing that aligns with him, his kingdom, that maybe ties into people, whatever it may be. And God's hardwired that into you, and it's unique to you. And God wants you to use that for good, but also for him. And so you're going to have the chance to come forward and receive prayer as we send you out to say, hey, go do that thing. That's what God created you for. It could be starting a business. Maybe God's put on your hearts to start a business in some way that serves people or brings value to people's lives and somehow ties into the kingdom or serving people. It could be, you know, running for a political office. It could be fostering children, fostering to adopt, you know, adopting children. Maybe you just have a burden to care for the orphans in the world. You know, it could be something like starting a nonprofit. Maybe you just feel a burden for the disenfranchised and you, God gave you a lead. It could be a big nonprofit. It could be just a simple little something to serve people. It could be, you know, coaching or mentoring others. God just has burdened your heart to help others develop a trade or a certain skill or maybe grow in their faith as a follower of him. And you may leave your job, you may not, but you have the gift of encouragement, of coaching people. It could be something that has to do with family or building marriages. It could be a passion for, I don't know, video games. I was talking to somebody who had a passion for video games and they're having a hard time connecting the dots. I said, well, maybe, you know, the thing there is that, you know, gamers live in a virtual reality most of their life. Maybe you're to create a community where you play in virtual reality, but then you connect together in reality and talk about real life and spiritual things, and you form a biblical community out of that. Maybe your obsession is, you know, God's been tugging on your heart like he did mine to go into full-time ministry and to commit your life. Maybe God developed you in the workplace, in the sale, on a sales team, or in banking, or in some trade, but he's now tugging on your heart to say, hey, I want you to now turn your skill set to making fishers of men like Andrew and Peter. You know, or maybe you're a student here and God's just been tugging on your heart and saying, hey, I want you to begin to commit your life to helping people find their way back to me. See, we consecrate ourselves. I go on and on and on. You're going to have a moment to receive a prayer blessing for whatever that thing is God's put on your heart here in a bit. All right, we're going to pray for you. We're going to send you to go do that thing. Then there's another kind of consecration, and here's how Luke puts it, and this is Luke. If you're not familiar with Luke, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the authorized biographers of Jesus' life, and Luke was a medical doctor, so he gives us all these unique details, all right? In fact, he starts the book of Luke, he says something like, you know, I carefully, meticulously put this account together so that you would know exactly what took place right here in our midst. He's like, I want you to be able to decide for yourself and hear for yourself what happened here. So here's what Luke says in chapter 10. He says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit, meaning that Jesus was going to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great and the workers are few. And what that means is he says that there's all kinds of people who have yet to come into relationship with God, but there's very few workers who are willing to commit their lives and their energies and their resources to helping these people find their way back to God. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields, more kingdom-obsessed followers. You just want to keep the kingdom moving forward. He says, now go and remember that I am sending you out. Who's sending you? He says, I. Your God, I'm sending you. See, there's this kind of setting apart that we get when we decide that I'm going to commit my life and my most precious resources, my time and my treasure, my calendar and my finances are going to look different. And if they don't look different, if my calendar and time don't look different, then that means that I probably haven't set myself apart. It means I probably haven't set myself apart, as Joshua says, and I'm probably not going to see the wonders and the amazing thing God wants to do in our midst. See, every single person who's here at Crosspoint this morning, every single person who's listening online right now, you're here because someone before you consecrated themselves. In fact, if they wouldn't have consecrated themselves, you probably wouldn't be here today. None of us would be here today. In fact, I wouldn't be here today. I had one of my grandmothers pass away earlier this week, Monday, and we had her funeral Thursday, and I just sat there and listened to the lineage of her life. I was blown away. And I knew a lot of these details, but I learned there that her and my grandfather, they were the first to come to faith in our family, on that side of our family. And they came to a Youth for Christ event on opposite ends of the altar and gave their life to Christ on the same night. They'd barely known each other. And then out of that, they met and began dating, got married at a very young age. My grandfather responded to a call to ministry. He began to serve people, to help people find their way back to God. And then he went out and started planting churches. He planted a church or two. And then my dad followed in his steps. That wasn't my plan. I wasn't planning to be a pastor, but it's like it was in my blood. I'm sitting there listening, and I'm like, I'm here today because my grandparents and then my parents consecrated themselves. And so here I am doing the very same thing. And understand, you know, there are people that you're here today because there were people on the shoulders of people who said, hey, we're going to give our time and our treasure and our resources to helping create a platform and a place for people to find their way back to God. And so if you've had any comfort ever, you know, being here at Crosspoint, or if you've been blessed in any way, or if you've, you know, God's met you in a unique way through your experience, you know, whether it's here or in a small group, I mean, through this small C church known as Crosspoint, if God's revealed himself to you, maybe he saved you from something, maybe he saved your marriage or your finances, or, you know, he saved you from an addiction, or, you know, or just saved you, period. Like, you became a Christian here and Jesus, you know, saved you of your sin and you began a new life. Or if you've received a blessing or encouragement or goodness in any way, understand it only came because there was a group of people before you that consecrated themselves so that you could be touched by God. They consecrated themselves. And consecration is very difficult. I mean, it's not necessarily easy. I mean, it's why more people aren't doing it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's easier to stay in the middle of the road. In a few moments, as we, you know, invite you to start moving, it's going to be easier to stay in your seat. All right, to stay in the lane that I know, to stay doing the same disciplines that everybody else around me is doing, the same, the same, the same. But see, when you do that, you're not consecrated. You're just what's called normal. When you consecrate yourself, you say, hey, I'm going to set myself apart for the purposes of God, for God to work in and through me in tangible ways. We become contributors to the kingdom of God, contributors, partners in kingdom work. In fact, that's what it means to be a partner around here at Crosspoint. If you've ever, you know, wondered on the card, what's the difference between a regular attender and a partner? A partner is somebody who says, I'm all in. I'm contributing my time and my talent and my resources, my treasure, to furthering the kingdom of God. That's what I'm doing. I'm here to help others experience what I've experienced myself. And every now and then somebody will say, well, I don't know that I have to do that. You know, God knows my heart. Whenever I hear that, I think, well, what does that mean when somebody says, God knows my heart? I mean, how does God know our hearts? You ever wondered that? There's a great little story that gives us a picture of it. Let me tell you the story and then draw a couple principles from it. And as I tell you the story, you're going to kind of go, ooh, geez, I don't know if I like this story. Hang with me until the end of the story. All right, you've likely heard of this guy. His name is Father Abraham. There's a song about him. Some of us used to sing as kids. And Father Abraham was an Old Testament hero. He's the leader of the nation of Israel. He's the founder of the nation of Israel. And it was founded upon him having children. The problem was that he and his wife were barren. They were not able to have children. And so they kind of pleaded with God. And Abraham's like, what do you mean you're going to make me a father of nations? I can't even have one child, let alone a nation of children. And then God brought Isaac into Abraham and Sarah's life. And so Abraham begins raising Isaac and loving being a dad. And at one particular point, it's like God looks down and he's like, oh, interesting. It almost looks like Abraham loves Isaac more than he loves me. And so he says to Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac up to the top of this mountain and I want you to sacrifice him for me. Now, this was somewhat normal in that time, but still weird. All right. So hang with me in the story. And so Abraham takes Isaac up the mountain and he's like, okay, how's God going to come through in this moment? And he doesn't see it. But he's like, okay, God, I'm going to show you that I'm faithful to you. And he's got his knife in his hand. His son is bound up. He's ready to sacrifice him. And God goes, whoa, stop. No, don't do it. And then here's what it says in Genesis chapter 22. God says, now I know that you fear God. Now I know. How did God know Abraham's heart? Because of what he did. Or what he was about to do until God said, whoa, put the brakes on. God never intended to have him kill him. He actually provided a sacrifice in the thickets. A ram came out and he's like, this is what I want you to sacrifice. But he was like, I want to know if your heart's with me. See, we say things like, well, God knows my heart. I mean, every time I'm here, Kurt, I'm like an emotional basket case. You know, I hear me like sniffling every time I'm here. That's awesome. It's cool that you're open to the Spirit. But that doesn't say anything about God knowing your heart. The way God knows your heart is by what you do. Right? That's how he knows your heart. And if I can be a little more direct in what we're talking about, he knows your heart by whether you cling to the money that he gave you or whether you cling to him. He knows your heart based on whether you're about giving your life and laying your life down to serve others and help others bring and experience what you've come to experience, whether it's serving them in kids or playing up here on the band or greeting people inside the front door, hosting small groups or leading a team around here. He knows your heart by the way you give your life away versus, okay, I get really emotional while I'm here, but man, every week I just come in, consume and enjoy, and there's a season for that. But it's primarily about what am I getting out of this? He knows your heart by what you do. Now, this next, I can't be more clear on this. I got to make a delineation here. Your actions will never get you into heaven. Never get you into heaven. Never, 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 never. There's no way to earn God's love by your actions. All right? It's not how it works. Not how it works at all. Your actions don't cause God to love you. All right? God loves you, period. There's nothing you can do to change his love for you, to make him love you more or make him love you less. Your actions simply tell God that you love him. Let me say that again. Your actions, what you do, actually tell God, hey, God, I love you. And so this morning, we're going to have a chance to tell God that we love him through our actions. All right, so here's what we're going to do. For many of us, God has been cultivating an obsession in our hearts. All right, and we want to pray for you this morning as you go and pursue that. So we have a prayer team. In fact, the prayer team is going to go ahead and come to the platform right now. I'm just going to invite them to come and just scatter around the front as I'm talking along with our table hosts for the partner tables. You can just come to the front. You know, as we sing in just a moment, if you would like somebody on this team to pray for you, to anoint you with oil, it's a very scriptural, spiritual thing, to be anointed with oil and for us to send you. And then chasing that thing God's put in your heart, then you're going to have the chance to come up to anybody up front. You can pick whoever you like or you know or somebody you don't know, and they'll pray for you in this obsession as you carry it out. And this is going to be a moment of consecration. You give them like a one sentence, here's my obsession, and then they're going to pray a short prayer and just say, God, we want you to, they're consecrating themselves right here. And get ready for the wonders of God. And then, at the same time, you're going to have a chance to say, hey, Jesus, I want to make you my obsession and furthering your kingdom obsession. And so you're going to have the chance to declare as a partner in this Small C Church Cross Point, and that happens through this card. Or maybe you are a partner. Maybe you already, you know, tithe and you already serve on a team. That makes you a partner around here. You can declare that. Say, hey, I'm going to continue doing this. If you are a partner, mark that on the back of your card and then step up. We got joy boxes on either end of the front of the venue this morning. These green boxes, you can put this card in there, and then you grab a jersey, grab a Cross Point t-shirt that says, I'm all in and moving the kingdom forward. Or maybe you're saying, hey, I want to be a partner. I want to start serving, or I am serving, I just haven't started giving. All right, you can put the percentage. I'm going to start, maybe you can't tithe. You say, I'm going to start at 4% or 6%. Or you want to go right in at 10%. Say, hey, I'm going to start giving. You can put a percentage or a dollar amount in. God, I want to be a part of what's happening here with my time, my treasure, and my talents. And I want to move the kingdom of God forward. You're setting yourself apart. And Joshua says, get ready to see the wonders of God through your life. And so we're going to have these couple responses. And to tell you what, students, we have students in the room. Students, you can become partners. Many of you serve in our venue, in our kids' environments. And I encourage you to start at a young age to say, I'm going to set 10% of whatever money that I make. If it's $10, I'm going to give a dollar back to God. And you build this rhythm in your life, I tell you what, you will never outgive God. So students, I invite you to become a partner today. Now, if we're not your home church, then I encourage you to fill this out for your home church. We're glad you're here. Don't put these in our boxes. I want you to take this card to your pastor. And I want you to, next time you see him or her, I want you to give it to him. Say, hey, here's what I commit to the kingdom moving forward here, either a dollar amount or a percentage, and here's where I'm going to serve to help move these things forward. And so, you know, take it to your pastor. Now, this is going to require moving out of our seats in a moment, all right? Moving out of our seats. And listen, I know it gets a little nerve-wracking when we do this. I'm not asking you to do something that I already haven't done. I never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do or haven't done. Just this week, we were at a conference, Tuesday, Wednesday this week up in Chicago. And I moved out of my row, and I went down front, and I said, God, I'm just reconsecrating myself to the plans you have and furthering the kingdom, creating a platform for people to be developed so we can continue to help people come back to God. And I got consecrated. I got prayed for, and I set myself apart. And if I can be honest, one of the speakers said something that really connected with me. I thought, man, I've been there. this last year has been a really hard ministry year, probably my hardest ministry year to date at Crosspoint. And it's just been a heaviness. I would even say at times I've been depressed, if I can be bluntly honest. Maybe not clinically, but depressed. Anybody else feel like a heaviness? Like you've just had moments of being depressed at times? You just feel like the weight, and oh man, I've just been heavy. Am I the only one? That's a few of you. Yeah. That moment for me was saying, God, I'm still in on your thing. I want you to use me. And so I consecrated myself to his purposes because the workers are few, but there's people, the harvest is full. There are people waiting to come back to God. And God needs people on the ground helping serve and create pathways for that. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet. If you want to be anointed and prayed for this morning, you can make your way to the prayer team up front here. You can right now, you can begin to come this direction. All right, our prayer team's up front here. You can declare, hey, I'm already a partner. Pick up your jersey, drop it in the boxes on the tables. If you aren't serving somewhere, fill out the serve card. Make this your moment. All right, make this your moment. Mark's going to lead us together in a song we've been singing. Let's consecrate ourselves. God's doing something amazing and wonderful.